Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is part four of a series that we're into called Anxious for Nothing. As we think about going through life, it's easy to be anxious about many things. So I want to do a quick review of what we've talked about so far and give you three reasons why we should live without anxiety as believers in Jesus Christ. First of all, let's remember God is sovereign. He has all power. He is in control of all things, so we need not be anxious. Also, the Bible says that the Lord is near. So in difficult times, let's remember He is near, and whatever we're anxious about, He is near, so we can take those anxieties to Him in prayer, and when we do that, we should do so with thanksgiving. Also, too, we learned last week that the Lord does permit various storms, various difficulties to come into our lives. But what else did we learn, though? The Lord is with us in the midst of the storm, and the Lord will carry us through the storm. So again, we need not be anxious. Today in part four, we're going to talk about the relationship between abiding in Jesus and being fruitful. Very closely related, both are very important, but we want to focus on one, and then the other one will come naturally. But that's not natural for us to do that, though, so I'm probably going to emphasize that over and over again as we go through today's sermon. Before we do that, though, I want to talk a little bit how God saved us. So the Bible makes it very clear that from the very moment of conception, every one of us spiritually, we were blind, we were dead, we were enemies of God. So there was nothing we could do in order to save ourselves or to help God save us. But God made us, God loves us, God wants us to be with Him forever. So what did God do? So we have to think about God the Father. So God the Father is working by the Holy Spirit. He's working through holy baptism. He's working in a very loving way. He's working in a very powerful way. And He clothed us in the righteousness, in the perfection, in the holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God took all that amazing action, and now we are alive in Christ. We are abiding in Christ. When we think about those realities, for most of us, that happened when we were very young. So we should give thanks to God that our parents brought us to be baptized into Christ. And then, upon being baptized into Christ, what did they do? They taught us the Word of God as we grew up. Such important things. So let's be thankful to our great God, thankful to our parents. Going to the topic of abiding, Jesus said repeatedly, especially in John chapter 15, over and over again, He said, "Abide in me." What does that mean? Well, abide comes from the Greek word pronounced meno, and the word abide can mean remain. The word abide can mean continue, very similar meanings. When we think about abiding, it is such a simple thing, such a fundamental thing, such an important thing. In other words, for those who abide in Jesus all the way to the end of their lives, what can we say? They're going to heaven. But for anyone, though, who does not abide in Jesus all the way to the end, well, let's be honest. Let's say what the Bible says. They are going to hell. So we can see that abiding is like super important to abide in Christ. How should we do that? Even asking the question, let's understand that we can only cooperate with the work of God. So it's not like God set us on a path, we're baptized into Christ, and now God is saying, okay, you're on your own, you make it happen. It's not like that at all, but rather God is calling us to function in certain ways so that He can work through His Word, He can work within our lives, and He can keep us abiding in Christ. So as we continue to abide in Christ, we're not patting ourselves on the back, but rather we are giving thanks and praise to God that He is keeping us abiding in Christ. Let me share with you four things here. First of all, it's important to keep believing. Jesus said there in John 8, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So to abide in the word of Jesus means to keep believing the word of Jesus. In order to keep believing it, we have to know it. And in order to know it, we have to have open ears to hear it. We have to take time to read it. We have to take time to study it. And I think it's a really important thing that we take some time and choose some of the most important verses in the entire Bible and we memorize them. When we do that, then the Word of God is always with us wherever we go. So very important. And then on the topic of evil and good, going to Psalm 37, the Bible says, depart from evil and do good, and then notice the reason why, so that you will abide forever. Think about it like this. We were on the path to hell. God has worked within our lives and put us on the path to heaven. We should be so thrilled about that, that we should gladly want to turn from evil and embrace what is good. Is it that easy? Well, it's not, because we still have the old nature, but God wants us to know such things are very important. Such things are included in abiding in Christ. How about on the topic of yes and no? In 2 John chapter 1, the Bible says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. Now think about a situation where someone is abiding in Christ and then they begin to go the other direction. The first step in the other direction, does that mean they're no longer abiding? I wouldn't say that. But how many steps do they have to take away from Christ? Oh, I'm no longer reading the Bible every day. I'm no longer reviewing my scripture memory. I'm no longer going to church anymore. I'm no longer gathering with Christian friends anymore. Like, how far do you have to go until you stop abiding in Christ? God wants us to know that can happen. So we don't want to go in that direction. So what does it say? Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. When I thought about that passage, it reminded me of something I did years ago here at Bethlehem with three links of a chain. So when we think about the top link, that would be God the Father. The second link would be God the Son. And the third link would be potentially you and me, people who are living human representatives of God the Son and God the Father in this world. In other words, when we share God's truth with other people, if they reject what we are saying, they are rejecting Jesus Christ and they are rejecting God the Father. All of us are connected together. Some people get the idea that, oh, I believe in God, but I don't care for Jesus. Well, that doesn't work that way. We're all connected together. And it's all connected to the truth of God's word. So these are very fundamental things God wants us to know about. And then on the topic of confidence, you know, we can live day by day with peace, with certainty that when I breathe my last, when Christ returns, boy, I'm going right to paradise. We can live like that. God wants us to live like that. He wants us to have confidence that's connected in with abiding. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, abide in Jesus, and then it tells us why. Abide in Jesus so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. So we know that he is definitely coming. Shall we say, oh, it's been a long time since he promised. He's not here yet. He must not be coming. Well, think about when he was promised the first time. God promised in the Garden of Eden that he would send his son. About 4,000 years later, then he comes and puts on human flesh. So when we think about Jesus saying, I'm coming back, well, it's only been about 2,000 years. So let's be certain he will keep that promise. Since we know he is coming, and since we know that only those who continue to abide in him will be welcomed in with God forever and ever, we should make abiding a top priority in our lives. This is important for Gabe and Nevin. This is important for every single one of us to abide in Christ. I want to talk a little bit now on the topic of being fruitful. Let's understand that fruitfulness is important. You're going to see that come up in some Bible passages I'll share with you from John 15. But let's know, though, that though it is important, abiding should be our focus. So we're not focusing on fruitfulness, we're focusing on abiding, and we're going to find out that when we are abiding, then the fruit will come naturally. Going to John chapter 15, you know that chapter, it's all about the vine and the branches and so on. So I want to give you just a little information to set this up here. So the Bible is telling us that God is the gardener. So what does that mean? We're talking about God the Father. He is the one who does the pruning. So he's looking over the vine and the branches and the fruit, and he's doing whatever pruning he thinks will be best, whatever pruning he knows to be best, in order to get the most fruit out of us. So that's the job of God the Father. And then when it comes to Jesus, he is the vine. So he is the one providing the nourishment to the branch. That would be to you and to me. We are the branches. What is our focus to be? Our focus is to abide in the vine, abide in Christ, to keep getting that nourishment from him. And then finally, when we think about the fruit is being produced through the branch. So you could think about the idea of the hammer I mentioned earlier. So the branch is kind of like the hammer. The branch isn't really doing anything. So you have God working through the branch, through the hammer, in order to produce the fruit of maybe pounding in a nail. But God wants us to know, though, that we are like the hammer. So there's no pressure on us. We're simply receiving nourishment from Jesus, from the vine, and God is working through us, and God is doing fantastic things. So we focus on abiding. I want to talk about two different kinds of fruit here, and we could talk about more as well. But first of all, think about what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. So here we are, we're abiding in Christ, so that means for certain we have the forgiveness of sins, we have the gift of eternal life, and we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. When the Holy Spirit is in us and we look in the mirror, we're not going to see that reality. However, though, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, that will show in our lives. So you know the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those should all be realities in our lives. And as we grow up in God, as we mature in what the Bible teaches, those realities should show forth more and more and more. Another way to think about fruitfulness would be, for example, think about an apple tree. What is the fruit of an apple tree? That would be an apple. And what is inside the apple, but what is needed in order to grow another apple tree? So the apple tree is reproducing itself, in a sense. What about us as believers in Jesus? How does God want to work through us? In many ways, but especially, he wants to work through us in order that others would also be believers in Jesus. Think about this passage in Proverbs 11. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. It's telling us that God wants to work through us, and when we cooperate with God, when we say, okay, God, here I am, I'm just the hammer, go ahead, grab a hold of me and do whatever you want, and especially, I hope you do that thing or those things which will be successful in bringing others to believe in Jesus. I mean, someday, nothing else is going to matter other than whether people know Jesus or not. What I want to do now is get further into John chapter 15 and talk about some key things here. So first of all, we come to the topic of removing. So Jesus said in verse 2 of John 15, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he," that is God the Father, "takes away." So imagine God the Father, he's looking over the vineyard and he sees a branch, and the branch is connected to the vine, but at the other end of the branch, there is no fruit. What does the Father conclude? He concludes that branch is dead. So he removes that branch from the vine. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. And then if we jump ahead to verse 6, what did Jesus say about those dead branches? He said, "They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So we never want to be a dead branch that the Father removes. What about on the topic of pruning? Jesus said, "Every branch that bears fruit, God prunes so that it may bear more fruit." So that's the reason for the pruning, to bear more fruit. You have probably done some pruning in your life, maybe some kind of a plant that you had that does actually produce fruit, or a vegetable that you can eat, or maybe something that grows flowers. So you take a look at it and you can see there, some things are helpful for producing the fruit or the flowers, some things are not helpful, so you cut it back. For someone that doesn't understand about the benefits of pruning, they might think, this can't be a good thing to cut this back. It's not going to be successful. But yet what happens, you look at it maybe a month later, or maybe even the next season, and you're like, wow, this is unbelievable. I cut it way back, and now it's being even more fruitful. Or maybe think about the Olympic athletes. We're into the Olympics right now. And think about, or try to imagine, I mean, the grueling workouts that they've been engaged in for years in order to get to the point where they are on the Olympic stage. If we only knew exactly what some people did, it would probably seem like so super extreme, kind of like radical pruning, but yet as the radical pruning produces more fruit, so that radical training that can produce medals in the Olympics. So sometimes something radical has to happen in order to get the desired result. What about the source of our fruitfulness? Jesus said in verse 4, "As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." So the focus, again, is not on the fruit, but the focus is on abiding. And as we are abiding in Christ, the fruit will come naturally. God wants us to be sure of that. The pressure is not on us, the pressure is on him. He's the one who grabs a hold of us and uses us. The pressure is on, not on the hammer, on the one holding the hammer. What about help in fruitfulness? I think a lot of times people take this passage and they pull it out of context. But keep in mind, we're talking here about the vine and the branches and fruit. And with that in mind, notice what Jesus said. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you." Now, if that's not taken in this context, people can take it in all kinds of ways. But how are we supposed to take it? We are supposed to take it in such a way that God wants us to know of his desire for us to be fruitful. And we know it's important to abide in Christ. But he knows, though, that it's not an easy thing. Sometimes, even though this hammer is not resisting me, sometimes for you and me, we're like resisting. We're running the other direction, kind of like Jonah heading west when he should have been going east. We can be that way sometimes. So God knows it's not easy for us. So what is Jesus saying? He is saying, in regard to the topic of fruitfulness, he is saying, cry out to my Father in heaven, and he will hear you, and he will help you in regard to being fruitful. That's a great blessing that God gives to us. And then finally, what about the results of fruitfulness? Jesus said in verse 8, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." When God saved us, God changed us on the inside. We have to keep that in mind, a definite change on the inside. If we have a person that's hellbound and God works the change and now the person is heavenbound, maybe a friend would say, "You look the same to me. I can't tell any difference." But yet on the inside, though, over here, we knew that we were in trouble, we were worried, we were fearful, we knew that heaven was probably not open for us, or at least we weren't sure about it. But now over here, though, it is completely different. Now we know that Jesus did everything. Now we know that we are abiding in him. Now we know that we are righteous in God's sight. Now we know that when we breathe our last, God's immediately taking us to paradise. I mean, it is just such a life changer. So when God changes us so on the inside, what happens? Now we have this love from God, and now that love goes back to God, and that love also goes to other people. So with that love for God, we have this desire to want to know the will of God and follow the will of God so we can bear fruit and bring him glory. What does that mean when we glorify God? That means that we are praising him. We are honoring him. We are magnifying him. I mean, he's changed everything for us. I mean, we were going for a horrible, horrible eternity, and now we have the most wonderful eternity. God has done that, and it has changed everything. And the other thing about it, too, is that when we are bearing fruit, when we are glorifying God, what is that doing? That is verifying that our confession of Christ is true. Do people sometimes say they are Christian, they say they are believers, but we're not seeing any evidence of that? It doesn't seem to be true. Well, when we are bearing fruit, that is part of the evidence that really, truly, God has worked a change here, because the change is invisible, but yet the fruit is something that can be seen. That is verifying our confession of Christ. One quick word here on anxiety-free fruitfulness. I suppose I've said this already a couple times, but God wants us to know, though, that we are the branches. So as we focus on Christ, we don't have to be concerned. God the Father can grab a hold of us. God can use us according to whatever his plan is. Think about there in Ephesians 2. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So as we live moment by moment, we should be open to whatever God's will is, knowing that he has a great plan for each one of us. So we should let him grab a hold of us and use us. And when we understand that God is sovereign, we understand that the Lord is near, we understand that God will carry us through every difficulty, we understand that sometimes there's a little bit of pruning going on in order to make us even more fruitful. When we understand all of that, then we have less and less anxiety, and we are abiding in Christ even more. And what is the result? Even more fruitfulness. Let me conclude like this today. So three things at the end. A truth that I touched upon today: God speaks to us through the Bible. So what is so important? That we are listening to what God says so we know what he desires for us. What about something relevant for today? As any of us can swing a hammer and drive a nail, so God can use us, God can grab a hold of us, and God can use us to accomplish what he desires. And then something similar, something inspiring: since God is almighty in power, let us know that there is absolutely no limit to what he can accomplish through you and through me. There is no limit. Anytime we think there's a limit, That is never a true limit. That is us limiting the Almighty God. Isn't that like a foolish statement even to make? Us limiting God who is limitless? So let's know he can do anything. Let's be open to that. Let's be excited about that. Because when we are abiding in Christ, when we are bearing fruit, that's going to be an exciting life on earth. And that's going to give us even greater assurance that in Christ we are forgiven and we can look forward to an awesome eternity with God and with all who die abiding in Christ. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would always keep us abiding in Jesus, keep us open to God's will for our lives, so keep us in the Bible, and also keep us being fruitful in our lives unto God's glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.